An easy way to pronounce the consonants in Arabic. Part 1. 1. Introduction. Many people learn the sounds of other languages by listening and copying what they hear. This is called mimicking. If you can do it, that's great. The problem is that many people are poor copiers of the sounds and accents of others. They need some help. They need careful teaching on how to say the new sounds. And this is what I intend to teach you now for Arabic. I'm teaching you as someone who has struggled to learn languages. I don't find language learning very easy. I always need explanations. Very few of my teachers have given me this in the past. I want you to get a head start on Arabic pronunciation by learning how to say the sounds. And even if you've already learned to speak reasonably, this knowledge may help you to help someone else. Now, what I'm going to explain and you're going to practice is in fact not very difficult. In fact, I think every language teacher should be able to explain the sounds of the language they're teaching in the way I'm going to do with Arabic. I think it's so easy to do that even school children can be taught this way. I'm going to adopt the following principles. A. Careful description of each sound in Arabic that is new or difference to a similar sound in English. B. Systematic comparison of Arabic with English, so that when an Arabic sound can be made by minor change in an English sound, it will be described this way. I'll also draw on the huge variety that exists within English. Sometimes a new sound in Arabic actually exists somewhere, or is very similar to something in English. I'll demonstrate later, and that's where the fun comes. Where I can, and where my audience can benefit, I'll also refer to critical differences in other languages such as French and Arabic and Spanish. D. I'll use current linguistic knowledge, but use simpler terminology where I can. I'll also provide the linguistic terminology in the documentation that goes with this lecture. E. I will teach you the basics. I will provide you with some of the know-how, and it will be up to you and the Arab helpers to fine-tune you. Let me begin with a funny story. It's a true story. In 1985, I was in a language class for classical Arabic. The teacher, rightly, stressed the importance of good pronunciation from the beginning. Now, as I will explain below, there are two different forms of H in Arabic. They're sometimes called a strong, emphatic form and a weak form. The strong form is a particular problem. Few in the class could say it. The teacher tried to tell us that it was because we were not putting enough effort into the pronunciation. We needed to fill our lungs and push out hard. Ha, ha, ha. We tried. It was comical. Completely failed. You'll see why later. 2. Vowels in Arabic. Vowels are rarely a problem for learners of Arabic, but some observations will be useful. The traditional explanation is that Arabic has 6 vowels. 3 short vowels, U, A, I, and 3 long vowels, U, or U, A, and E. When writing Arabic phonetically, there are 2 customs for indicating a long vowel. The linguists use a colon, but many ordinary people simply write the letter twice. It doesn't matter. Arabic also has diphthongs such as U and Ya. But these are not a problem, so the point's not important. English has at least 20 vowels. This means that one vowel sound in Arabic has a considerable range of variation and can include several sounds which are quite distinct in English. What it means here is that the English ear is well trained in distinguishing the sounds of vowels. Later we'll make use of this skill. Can be used to help distinguish consonants that sound very similar to English ears. The focus of attention in Arabic is consonants, and just as vowels can be short or long, consonants can be short or long. I will deal with this when I consider the individual sounds. 3. Some theory of consonants. Yes, you do need a bit. There are three distinctive features of most consonants that need mentioning. All consonants have to do with these three components. A. The place in the mouth where the sound is made. Linguists say the place of articulation. This place varies from the lips at the front right down to the voice box itself at the back. B. The way the sound is made. Linguists call this the manner of articulation. Quaint, isn't it? The most common ways are some kind of explosion or plosive, such as p, t, k, g, or something resulting from friction, the fricatives, such as f, sh, h, h. C. Whether or not the sound is voiced or voiceless. The easiest way to explain this is to take the sounds P and B. Before you try them out, put your hand over your Adam's apple, your voice box. When the vocal cords inside this box vibrate, they produce sound. Only some consonants include vibration from the vocal cords. These are the so-called voiced consonants. Try the sounds P and B now, P and B now. Which one of them includes some vibration? I hope you'll agree that B is voiced. The distinction is very important, as you'll see later. D. There are four consonants in Arabic which also have an extra feature called secondary articulation. I'll deal with this later. 4. Consonants in general. Can you please now look at tables 1 and 2 in your handouts? Firstly, you will see there is more than one system of phonetics in use. There is an international list and many others. Once you have learned Arabic, you'll find all these different scripts far more confusing than the Arabic script itself. So I really want to encourage you to use the Arabic script as much as possible. I know that for some people it takes a long time to learn it. In fact, in the first year of learning Arabic, I used phonetics almost entirely. I only switched into Arabic when I started courting and wanted to show my future wife I was serious about language learning. How's that, eh? Some people are at ease in it after a few weeks. Took me 2 years. I say that not to discourage you, but to encourage you to keep persevering. Secondly, I want you to notice the names given to the consonants in Arabic. No one ever taught me these names. No one ever suggested I learn them. No one ever gave me a list, and I had to dig quite hard to find one in a textbook. And yet the list is very easy to learn and very, very useful. In a few weeks' time, you'll want to write down a new word, and you'll want to ask for the spelling, or you'll want to ask which R it is. Now, you could say the front R or the back R, but who knows that? Well, now you know. You can say re or rein. That's easy. Re or rein. The Arabs understand it easily. Just us have to learn it. Thirdly, you do not need to pay any attention to the right-hand column linguistic description. I've included it for the sake of completeness, and because sometimes we get someone listening who half remembers their linguistics and they find it helpful. I also find it very helpful when people ask me questions. In fact, I habitually teach pronunciation with phonetics charts in front of me.